TUC Radio, Time of Useful Consciousness. Helen Caldicott, Nuclear Power, Radiation, and Our Health. This is the keynote presentation at a public forum in Taipei, Taiwan. It took place on July 7, 2013. The organizer was an anti-nuclear alliance of mothers called Mom Loves Taiwan. They are campaigning to prevent the opening of yet another nuclear power plant on that small island, and invited the Australian physician Dr. Helen Caldicott to help inform the public and the media. There are very few people currently alive who have given so much time and effort to the whole complex of the nuclear nightmare. From atmospheric bomb testing, to nuclear war, to nuclear power, to nuclear weapons in space, and to climate change. In 1971, Caldicott played a major public role in Australia's opposition to French atmospheric nuclear testing in the Pacific. 4 years later, she worked with the Australian trade unions to educate their members about the medical dangers of the nuclear fuel cycle and uranium mining. At the end of the 1970s, Helen Caldicott gave up a profession she loves, that of a medical doctor, and a career that could have given her a comfortable life. She credits the excellent and free education in medicine she received in Australia with giving her access to the Children's Medical Center in Boston, where she was on staff, and to Harvard Medical School, where she taught pediatrics from 1977 to 1978. Helen Caldicott left her position at Harvard to fully immerse herself in nuclear disarmament and joined those who were ending the Cold War. Caldicott formed several important organizations in her over four decades of activism. One major contribution was her co-founding Physicians for Social Responsibility. The umbrella group, International Physicians for the Prevention of Nuclear War, won the Nobel Peace Prize in 1985. To this day, Helen Caldicott works with the organization she co-founded. In fact, her most recent Fukushima symposium, an up-to-date scientific assessment of the medical and ecological effects of the Fukushima accident, was co-sponsored by the Helen Caldicott Foundation and Physicians for Social Responsibility. A 10-part radio series based on the symposium was produced by me, Mariah Gallardon, and can be downloaded free on TUC Radio's website, tucradio.org. Caldicott gave part of her talk in Taipei, Taiwan, from a script she wrote to make it easier for the translator. Here is Dr. Helen Caldicott.
I come to you today with a deep sense of anxiety and concern about the health and well-being of the people of Japan and of Taiwan and of any other country with nuclear power plants. So concerned was I about Fukushima and the ignorance of the press that I organized a two-day symposium at the New York Academy of Medicine on the second anniversary of the accident on March 11th and 12th, titled The Medical and Ecological Consequences of Fukushima, and it was addressed by some of the world's leading epidemiologists, physicists, and physicians who presented the latest data on Fukushima. As you know, the massive Great Eastern Earthquake and tsunami occurred on March 11th, causing the meltdown of three nuclear reactors within several days, and such an event has never occurred in the history of the human race. Fukushima is now described as the greatest industrial accident in history. Massive quantities of radioactivity escaped into the air and water and are still escaping as I speak. Three times more noble gases, argon, krypton, and xenon, than were released at Chernobyl, together with huge amounts of other radioactive elements such as cesium, which causes brain cancer, muscle cancers, testicular cancer, ovarian cancers, strontium, which causes bone cancer and leukemia, iodine, which causes thyroid cancer, plutonium, which causes cancer in every organ of the body. Unfortunately, the people of Japan, and I'm sure Taiwan, were not informed of the accident and the meltdowns for 2 months. Now, a 1,000-megawatt reactor, which is like the three reactors very near you, and I would stress that there are 9 million people here living within 40 kilometres of those reactors. If one of them has an accident, you will never escape, you will never be evacuated, and you will all be doomed. That's why they must be closed down. A 1,000-megawatt reactor contains as much radiation as that released by the explosions of 1,000 Hiroshima-sized bombs. And the fissioned uranium becomes 1 billion times more radioactive than the original uranium because 200 new radioactive elements are produced, some which last seconds and some which last millions of years. And that's radioactive waste. And you've got it piling up at your reactors all over the country with only 2 more years of storage before you run out of where to put the stuff. Fortunately for Japan, for the first 3 days of the accident, the wind was blowing from west to east, so 80% of the radiation blew across the Pacific. I don't know how much radiation Taiwan received, but I'm sure you are within the plume of the radiation. Then the wind changed and blew from the southeast across much of the Fukushima prefecture, heavily contaminating the ground with fallout, and Tokyo received a considerable fallout. Tokyo is very radioactive. 35 million people live in Tokyo. I'll tell you in a while how cancer is caused by radiation. So concerned was the Japanese government, they were considering plans to evacuate 35 million people from Tokyo during the accident. Thousands of people were fleeing from the smouldering reactors, and the government knew where the plume was going, but they didn't notify the people. So the people fled into the path of the highest radiation dose. To this day, the Japanese people haven't been told really where the radiation is. 600,000 people live in very high radiation areas. Areas that in Russia, after Chernobyl, were evacuated. So the Japanese government is far less responsible, even than the then Soviet government. Isn't that interesting? I think that your government is irresponsible too, because from what I hear from listening to people, you are not informed about the medical dangers of nuclear power, and they give you all sorts of fallacious reasons why you need it to turn on your lights, which is not true. And the nuclear power industry dominates the debate. It's time physicians talked about this, because this is going to create epidemics of cancer and leukemia and genetic disease forevermore. And I will describe how that will happen soon. The Fukushima accident is not over. They don't know what to do about it. And every day, more and more and more radiation escapes into the Pacific Ocean. You have a current, I think, that goes down from Fukushima near Taiwan. Is anybody testing your fish to see if it is radioactive? But they say it's going to take up to 50 years to try and stop the accident. 50 years. Nobody has ever had to cope with 3 nuclear meltdowns right on the edge of the ocean. Meanwhile, there's a building number 4 in Fukushima. And during the earthquake, it became very destabilized structurally. And they just removed all the radioactive fuel from the reactor core and put it in a big cooling pool on the roof, 100 feet above the ground. 100 tons of incredible radioactive waste sits 100 feet above the ground. If there's another large earthquake, Building 4 will collapse. Down will come the cooling pool, the water will leak out of it, and the fuel will burn, releasing 10 times more radiation than was released at Chernobyl. That means if that happens, you will be in great danger. They're talking about having to evacuate 55 million people from Japan, but if the wind's blowing towards you, it's going to be a catastrophe. The Japanese government is not asking anyone to come in and help them. They're trying to reinforce the building to put a huge crane on top to move those very radioactive fuel rods by remote control. Might take 1 or 2 years for that to happen. Meanwhile, if there's a big earthquake, not just Taiwan, but the whole of the Northern Hemisphere will be severely contaminated. I have 2 grandchildren in Boston. If that happens, I am going to fly my family out to Australia. Why? Because the air mass in the Northern Hemisphere doesn't mix at the equator with the southern air mass, so we don't get the radiation down in Australia. You get it. However, the Pacific Ocean has currents that go all the way around all the time, and our fish is going to be radioactive in Australia. And already they're catching tuna off the coast of California that contains cesium from Fukushima. Don't buy any Japanese food. Don't eat any Japanese food. Don't eat any Japanese fish. All Japanese food exports should be banned from coming into Taiwan, and I'll explain why in a minute. Okay, let me explain how radiation causes cancer and what it really means and what are the elements in the reactors. But first I want to show you. This is Japan. This is Fukushima. And that's a very, very high radiation area. And the blue is still very high. And you can see it came all the way down to Tokyo. And the brown means that all of this area of Japan has been contaminated with radioactive elements. And they will remain radioactive for hundreds of years. This is Chernobyl. There was a huge explosion here because a stupid man did a stupid experiment in the middle of the night and the reactor blew up. And it burnt for 10 days, releasing radiation all across Russia and all across Europe and in Scandinavia and in the United Kingdom. In fact, 40% of the European landmass is now radioactive. People are eating radioactive food. The incidence of cancer is increasing. In Cumbria and Wales in the UK, there are about 300 farms growing lambs, and the lambs are so radioactive, the government went to the farmers and said, you have to close down your farms. And they said, because your lambs are radioactive. And the farmer said, for how long? And the government said, oh, about 100 years. It's not 100 years, it's 300 years, and I'll explain why in a little while. So this shows that one stupid man at a nuclear power plant doing an experiment in the middle of the night can contaminate a whole continent for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. That's what nuclear power means if there is an accident. Now, this I want to show you is a chart of the radioactive elements in a nuclear power plant. You might only have heard of radioactive iodine and cesium-137 and strontium-90, but look at all the poisons that are made, 200, and sit in those reactors just to the north of you. So we'll start here, starting with radioactive hydrogen, which is called tritium, and I'll just quickly move through these so you see what I'm trying to illustrate. Beryllium, carbon, Silicon, phosphorus, they're all radioactive and very dangerous. Sulfur, chlorine, argon, two argons, potassium, calcium, scandium, vanadium, manganese, iron, cobalt, nickel, zinc, selenium, krypton, rubinium, strontium, yttrium, zirconium, niobium, molybdenum, technetium, ruthenium, and I won't name them all, but I'll just scroll down for you to get a visual idea of the toxins that are in these nuclear power plants. Some last seconds, as I said, and some last for millions of years, and we can't get rid of them. We are making carcinogens, cancer-causing substances, which will affect all future generations. Now, many of these elements escaped from Fukushima, and I'm sure some of them landed on Taiwan. And they're all in your reactors, just to the north of you. Radium. Radium is what gave Madame Curie cancer. She was so fond of radium, which she isolated from uranium, she used to walk around with a little lump of radium in the pocket of her lab coat. And she died of a bone cancer. Her daughter also died of leukemia. So there's radium. And we go on to neptunium, plutonium, americium. These are very, very radioactive substances, terribly dangerous. Now, I'm going to explain to you how radiation causes cancer and go from there. So you know that the body is composed of cells, trillions of cells. And in each cell is a nucleus, and in the nucleus are the chromosomes, and on the chromosomes are genes, which control everything about us. But in every cell, there's a gene called the regulatory gene, and it controls the rate at which the cell divides. So if radiation hits the regulatory gene, it damages the DNA molecule. And the cell will sit quietly from any time from 5 to 80 years, and you don't know that your cell has been damaged by radiation. Then one day, the cell starts to divide, not just into two, as it should, but into trillions and trillions and trillions of cells. And that is a cancer. It takes one piece of radiation to hit one gene in one cell to kill you. And when you feel a lump in your leg or your breast, or you cough up some blood, you don't know that this cancer was caused by some radiation you ate in a piece of sushi from Japan 20 years ago. Because no cancer identifies its origin. But we know from many studies medically of people who've been irradiated that radiation causes cancer. That's it. Now, there are other cells in the body that are more important than those cells, and one is called the sperm, and one is called the egg. And you have half the number of genes and chromosomes in each, so when they combine, you get a normal cell, and it starts growing into a fetus and a baby. Now, every single gene in the sperm and egg is important, and we have human genes, although 99% of our genes are the same as chimpanzee, so we don't really understand things very well. Now, radiation can damage any of these genes. I have just found out that I am a carrier for a disease called hemochromatosis, and that means my then husband and I both have that gene because our son has just been diagnosed with that disease, and it's a genetic disease, and it's an abnormality in iron metabolism, so he can't get rid of iron, and it stores in the liver and the heart, causing liver disease and heart disease. He gets treated now by being bled every few weeks, a liter of blood, which lowers the level of iron. We all carry several hundred genes for disease, like diabetes, like cystic fibrosis, like dwarfism. There are over 2,600 genetic diseases described, and radiation causes mutations. So the more radiation we have in the environment from nuclear power and from medical x-rays and CT scans, the more we are going to see genetic disease happen over future generations, many generations. Now, what forms of radiation are there? I'll walk you through that now. First, there are x-rays. Hands up those people here who've never had an x-ray. You've never had an x-ray? Dental x-ray? Oh, you have. You have. See, we've zapped you all. Doctors are one of the biggest causes of radiation exposure. Never have an x-ray without asking why. Doctors are not God, although we play God. And you have to be say, do I really need this x-ray? CT scans give you a very high dose of radiation. Do not have a CT scan unless it's absolutely necessary. Don't walk through the x-ray machines at the airports. Don't. Have a full body search, but don't walk through them. Because each dose of radiation you receive from the sun, cosmic radiation, from the rocks on the earth, from a CT scan, from an x-ray, from a nuclear power plant, they all do the same thing. Each dose you receive adds to your risk of getting cancer. It's cumulative. No dose of radiation is safe. No dose. Any radiation you receive can cause cancer years later. So be very careful, and doctors are very indiscriminate, and there's a big literature coming out. People who have a lot of dental x-rays have a high incidence of brain cancer, right? Women who have a lot of mammograms have a higher than normal incidence of breast cancer. Breast is very sensitive to radiation. So there are x-rays. And x-rays are non-particulate. They go straight through you. So when the technician says, breathe in, hold it, runs out the door, and they go zap, that instant you can be damaged. Your gene can be mutated. But you do not become radioactive. Okay? Then there's gamma radiation, which is like x-rays, given off by radioactive elements that I showed you, made in nuclear power plants. Same stuff. Then there's alpha radiation, which composed of two protons and two neutrons emitted from an atom. This is a very large particle. Plutonium. Uranium is an alpha emitter, and you can hold it in your hand, and the alpha particle won't penetrate the dead layers of skin to damage living cells. But if you inhale some plutonium into your lung or uranium, it goes down here and the alpha particle just irradiates a tiny little volume of cells. And almost certainly one of them will mutate and later develop cancer. Then there's beta radiation, which is an electron emitted, and it does the same thing. They all do the same thing. They damage the gene to later cause cancer. Okay, no radiation is safe. Background radiation, we think, causes about 30% of the cancers we already see, let alone adding to background radiation by nuclear power plants. Now, a nuclear power plant operating always releases radioactive elements into the air. Two studies done in Germany and France, looking at children less than 5 years of age, living within 5 kilometres of a nuclear power plant, the incidence of leukemia in the children is double. And the incidence of cancer is high in the children. It's not safe to live near a nuclear power plant, particularly if you're a child. Now, children are about 10 to 20 times more sensitive to radiation than adults. They get cancer much more readily. And it's interesting, little girls are twice as sensitive as little boys. Women are more sensitive than men. And the fetus is thousands of times more sensitive to radiation. And very important work was done by a woman called Alice Stewart to show that one x-ray to the pregnant abdomen doubles the incidence of leukemia in the baby. Okay? That's why when you are still having periods and you have to have a dental x-ray or another, they say, when was your last period? And they don't x-ray you in the second half of your menstrual cycle because you could have had, you might have a little embryo in your uterus who would be very vulnerable to being irradiated. So people are very different. The sensitivities of people are very different, and children are particularly vulnerable.
That was the first part of a 45-minute speech by Dr. Helen Caldicott. She spoke on July 7, 2013, in Taipei, Taiwan, at an anti-nuclear alliance of mothers. Mom Loves Taiwan are campaigning to prevent the opening of yet another nuclear power plant on that small island. Helen Caldicott is the Australian physician who left a promising career in medicine to become one of the best-known anti-nuclear campaigners. The Smithsonian has named her as one of the most influential women of the 20th century. She's the author of several books, among them Nuclear Madness, If You Love This Planet, The New Nuclear Danger, and Nuclear Power is Not the Answer. Come back when TUC Radio returns for the conclusion of the talk, as well as a few excerpts from interviews. You can hear this program again for free on TUC Radio's website, tucradio.org. Look for the newest programs page. You can get information on how to order a 1-hour CD at cost on tucradio.org or by calling 1-707-463-2654. And I will repeat that number in a moment. TUC Radio is free and depends on the support of listeners like you. Your donation keeps this program on the air. TUC Radio's mailing address is Post Office Box 44, Calpella, California, 95418. That's Calpella, California, 95418. For more information, call 707-463-2654. Or go to TUC Radio's website, tucradio.org, for the address and donate buttons. There you can also subscribe to weekly free podcasts. My name is Maria Gelarden. Thank you for listening. Give us a call.